Please take your Bibles. We continue the study in the book of Acts today. Acts chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or though through by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." We're going to stop with that 13th verse there and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can read your word and fellowship together as a family. Thank you for all the family that you've brought together today to hear your word. And please just guide and lead us, Father, through this precious message. That every word be to your honor and glory. Bless our hearts, and Father, please that reach those that do not know you as their Savior, that they would come today and be born again. And Father, just help us to grow. From the day we're born anew, born again, we should be searching your word and fellowshipping over your word. So please, dear Lord, just grow us, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Last week we looked at a lame man. You know, when you're up here, you look across and you see the folks and watch you and everything. And Sherry, I looked back and I saw Kira, and I thought, she's not that big yet. I thought, and so be sure and see Allison today. And so, but I saw that little ponytail, and I thought, well, that can't be her yet. And so, I haven't seen her for a week, and so that's exactly right. So glad that you're here today, and so glad everybody is well. Acts chapter 3. Last week we took a few minutes and we looked at this lame man, and we looked at him in the light of being a perfect picture of a sinner, someone that is lost, because you see, he was unable to walk. And we looked up many verses of Scripture concerning, in order for us to walk with the Lord, we must be born again, we must be saved. But beyond that, and including that, then also we talked about that there was no way that this man could get to the door of the gate, the beautiful gate there. There was no way for him to get there without someone bringing him. And so as we looked at that, we find that is the condition that a lost man is in, because no one, you can't do anything. You are led by the devil. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, you are led by the devil. And so, beautiful picture. There's also a second picture that we need to look at here, and that is, let's look at the men that brought him. And once again, we have another beautiful picture, because not only is this man a sinner, but someone brought him, some one man or men brought him to that gate every day. Now, if they had not brought him to that gate, he would not have been there for Peter and John to give him this great blessing of healing. He would not have been there. Well, we need to do the same thing. You see, when we tell people about the Lord Jesus, we are bringing them to the gate. Now, to whether they come through that gate and accept Jesus and be born again, that's up to them. That's up to you. But we need to be responsible to bring them. And if these men were saved men that brought this man faithfully to that door, hoping that through the Word of God he would be saved and come in, because you see, the Lord Jesus is the door. So in both lights, this man's a perfect picture of a sinner, and also look at the men that brought him, because that is what we're to be doing. We're to be bringing people to Jesus. We all have family members. We all have friends that do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And we need to bring them to the door, just like these men carried this lame man. Because you see, he wasn't able to walk. Neither is the lost person. Neither is the sinner. They're not able to walk to that door. You bring them. We need to bring them to that door, and then they have a decision to make to whether they trust in the Lord Jesus or not. In this verse, a person or persons, again, carried the lame man each day to the gate of the temple, or the gate of this, the gate's called Beautiful. They took time to bring him to the gate every time. And in this time, it was the gate of salvation brought him to Jesus. That was today. How many days had they carried this man? How many times do you talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus and bring them to that gate and they reject it, they turn away? But one day, they're going to say yes. And we're going to look at the authority and the way that Peter spoke to this man. And so we're going to look at all those things today. Just steps away from being able to enter into this gate, to go into the temple courtyard. He couldn't do it. They brought him to the gate. You cannot save anyone. I cannot save anyone, but I can bring him to the gate. We need to bring him to the gate. We need to do that. We need to be faithful to do that. Again, this gate, spiritually speaking, is without question a type of the Lord Jesus. And the only door of salvation is our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus. Those who do not accept Jesus are outside the door, just as this lame man was outside the beautiful gate. And like him, they have no power of their own by which they can enter into the gate, enter into the kingdom. They have no power of their own. Do we realize that every lost person that we know, that they have no desire to know the Lord Jesus? The only way that desire can begin is by them hearing the Word of God. And that allows the Spirit of God to begin to talk to them, begin to communicate to them that they're a sinner and they're lost, and then introduces them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have a decision to make. And so every time, don't just look at a person, oh, they're a good person, I know they're saved. I've known folks for years that as long as you're good and you act good while you're saved, there's going to be a lot of good people right in hell, without question. We need to be faithful to present them the Word of God, bring them to that gate, and then bring them to that place of decision so that they can be born again. Please be faithful to do that. It's all according to the Word of God. No man can come to God except he be drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll find that in John chapter 6, verse 14 that we looked up last week. He that enters through the door is born again. What a miracle. All brought about by the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. So we have this man at the steps, maybe one step away from walking through that gate, that beautiful gate into the courtyard. One step away. And he's sitting there on the steps. He'd been laid on the steps. Here comes Peter and John. They're about to go into the temple. And he stops them and he said, Sirs, do you have a dollar? Do you have $5 that you could spare? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, looked on him. He says, look on us, was the comment that was made, the statement that was made. We're going to back up just a little bit because I want you to see that all unbelievers are beggars. All unbelievers are beggars. Now, do you think of them as beggars? Do you think about that? All unbelievers are beggars. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read verse 25 and 26. And then we're going back to a very familiar text back in Luke chapter 16. Let's go to Matthew 16. All lost people, all unbelievers are beggars. Keep that in mind. Matthew 16. Matthew 16:25-26. Very familiar scripture verse, Matthew 16:25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profitable if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And you keep those verses in mind, and now go with me to Luke 16. Luke 16. And we're going to be looking at the 19th through the 20th, through the 30th verse. Again, a very familiar. And I'm going to ask you, who's the beggar? Lazarus or the rich man? Who's the beggar? Well, it starts out. Certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Well, it must be the answer then. Lazarus must be the beggar, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man who died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus at his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented with this flame. Who's the beggar now? Who's the beggar now? The rich man's the beggar. Lazarus is no beggar. He is no beggar. You know, multimillionaire, 1 minute, and a beggar the next. You want to put your faith in your money, in your riches, in your possessions? This was a rich man he went from being a multimillionaire to a baker in a split second. A split second. Lazarus went from being a beggar for a few years here to glory with the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful day. We need to see what's important and understand that every unbeliever is a beggar. They're a beggar. And so was this man. Get back to Acts chapter 4, or chapter 3, verse 4. And we come to this beggar, this lost man. He desired to have something. Give me money. Give me something. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Now, Peter fastened his eyes. Means he looked steadfastly upon him. Have you noticed in the last few years that as you're walking through a store or you walk down the street, nobody looks you in the eye? You watch folks as you walk down, because I watch them. And if you can give a total stranger a smile, if you can say have a good day to somebody that you pass that you never know, it's a wonderful day. But 90% of the people, when you get close to them, they look away and they look down the ground. No one wants to look you in the eye anymore. I've noticed that now for the last several years. Well, my friend, they're missing a blessing. They're missing a blessing. And we should be ones that give that blessing out. People should see a difference in us. Peter and John, when they looked, they saw this man. They recognized, they saw who he was, they saw what he was. He is lame, he is helpless, he is needy. So let's give him some money. Let's give him some money. Yeah, I got a few extra bucks here. We'll give you a little money. Many times folks will come by the church. They'll call the church. Once a week I get a phone call. I'm traveling through and I don't have enough gas to get to where I'm going. I need a little money. To stop by the church. They'll catch me out here and they'll come in and they says, you know, I've got my family. We're traveling from Colorado to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, we need some money need some gas money so we can get there. I've got a tire that's going bad. I need some money to replace a tire. And my words always to them is, how long are you going to be in town? He says, well, we're going to be here a couple days. And almost every time, it's on Wednesday. And I said, well, come to Bible study tonight and we'll see what we can do. I'm sure we can help you. Come tonight. Have you ever seen a stranger come? No. Well, you know what? If they don't want what we have to offer when it comes to the glory and the power and the salvation of the Lord Jesus, that's what they need. This man didn't need silver or gold. Silver or gold just continued the problem. He fastened his eyes upon him, and he commanded. I believe that when Peter spoke, he spoke with authority. And we need to do the same when we're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever notice when you're sharing the gospel with somebody, you're kind of sheepish? Would you like to be saved? Oh, would you like to know my Jesus? We need to speak with authority. Not with an arrogance, but with an authority, with love and with power, with authority when we speak to someone about our Lord and Savior. He's all the world to me. Shouldn't we be speaking with authority? Peter did. Peter said, "Look on us." And he gave heed. And he knew immediately by those strong words of Peter that he was going to get healed, didn't he? No. He knew by those strong words that this man's going to give me something. He is going to give me some money. I know he is. He could tell by that strong voice. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, Silver or gold I have none. But such as I have, I'll give thee. And Peter said, In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. We should be seeking the lost. We should be seeing the unbelievers. And when we look at an unbeliever, we should see what they are, who they are. We shouldn't have pity upon them. We should have the concern that we have the greatest news ever. We have something great to tell you. Jesus died on the cross for you. This Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We speak that with authority. We speak that with power. And when we are led by the Spirit of God, I believe the response will be the same. We're going to see a man or a woman or a girl or a boy healed. And I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking about them being born again. But we need to see. We need to see that person that is so well dressed, that person that has the fancy car, that person that lives in that beautiful home, seems to have everything that their heart desires. Do we realize? Do we recognize that they're on the road to destruction? They're miserable. They have nothing. They have no hope. That's a sinner. But we don't look at that. We look at the coat that they have on and the car they drive and the possessions that they have. And even many times we envy them. We envy what they have. We desire to be like them, even though in many cases they do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Peter said, Silver or gold I have none. Then they walked right on into the temple, didn't they? No. He said, But such as I have, I will give thee. He had something much greater. Much greater. And he said unto this lame man, In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Did this man have a choice? Yes, he did. He could have said, I don't know who this Jesus is, but give me money. I'd prefer to have money. What's this Jesus going to do for me? Now, if he would have made that statement, look at what he would have lost. He would have lost the opportunity to walk, to live. And that's what every individual that denies the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you tell them about the Lord Jesus, and you tell them with the joy and the power and the authority that Jesus saves, will you come by faith to the Lord Jesus? And they says, no, I don't want it. Do they realize that they are blind and lame and they're on their way to hell? Do they realize that? And better yet, do we realize that? Do we realize, people that we know and we say we care for, people that we love, that we do not pray for them, we do not give them the gospel? So we don't really believe there's a hell, do we? We say we're born again, and we say we're saved, and we're excited to see the Lord Jesus. Well, if we are, we would give the news, the great news that Jesus saves. That's what Peter did. And thankful this lame man, he stretched out his hand. And when he stretched out his hand, he stood up. And he didn't just walk, but he leaped, the scripture says. And he did it all the way into the temple. Walking and leaping and praising God. Praising God. What a great day. And that is the same. This man, we have the picture of a physical healing. But the day that you and I met the Lord Jesus or will meet the Lord Jesus is the greatest day. And we should be leaping and walking and praising God. Because we have just been snatched out of hell. We've been given life. And then we've been given a special blessing that we have the opportunity to share that same news with somebody else that we love. Somebody else that we love. Verse 8, he leaping up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They couldn't believe it. There was no question because they had walked by this man. They had walked by him day after day after day as they went through this beautiful gate into the temple courtyard. They knew him. They spoke to him. How many times did they dig down their pocket and give him a little something so that he could eat? They knew it was him. There was no question. The lame man, which was healed with Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Here come this large group to see. What a miracle. Did Peter say, all you need to do is trust in Jesus? It tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But with the heart, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart. And the only one that can get to the heart is the Spirit of God. We can get to the mind, but we can't get to the heart. Jesus can get to the heart. And he does. He gets to the heart. Look what Peter says when this group collected. He didn't say, look what I've done. He didn't even say at this point, look what my God has done. What does Peter do in this 12th, 13th verse? When Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. What's Peter doing? He's doing exactly the same thing. He's proclaiming the word of God because, my dear friend, you can't be saved till you're lost. You need to know that you're lost. You can't just say the words, because if it doesn't touch your heart, you're as dead and lost as ever. You've got to be born again. You've got to trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And you see here, we find that Peter continued immediately preaching unto these people the Word of God, showing them that they're lost, showing them that they need a Savior, the Lord Jesus. Please, that we do that today, that we call upon the Lord Jesus. Let's see. Let's get our eyes open. Our heart, let's get our eyes open, and let's begin to look at the people that we know and love and recognize that they are lost, they're lame, they can't walk, they can't function, and oh, they're doing all these things. They're so wonderful. They're dead. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. They're lame. And we need to go with the love of Jesus and tell them, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come into your presence and come together, and where two or more are gathered, you promise a special blessing. And I believe that you've given us that special blessing today. And so please, guide and lead us today, Father, through your precious word. Guide us each and every day. And Father, just touch every heart today, those who do not know you as their Savior, that they will come recognizing that they're lost, recognizing that they're a sinner, recognizing this lame man was lame and could not begin to walk. And yet now he has been made whole. Well, we can do the same. Maybe we'll have some physical ailments, but our heart is made new, and this life is just a vapor. As back in Luke, that rich man went from being in command of thousands or millions of dollars and many, many people probably with his great estate and businesses and everything that he had, Father, and in a split second, he went from a millionaire to a beggar. Now, Father, please, have us to go from being a beggar here on this earth to glory with you through eternity. I'll take a Lazarus any day. Thank you, Father, for your precious word today. Speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.